tonight, I want us to just to take a few moments, turn our attention to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Would you stand with me as you read from the Word of God? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for once again to look into your Word. And now I pray that you will help us to stop and turn our attention, our hearts, our minds completely upon you. And I pray, Lord, you'll speak to us tonight through your Word. Lord, thank you for the privilege of preaching tonight. And we pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we talked about being a living sacrifice and what that word sacrifice means. It carries, of course, the idea of giving God something valuable. Now, are you valuable? I heard some no's out there. Okay, then don't give yourself to God. That thing of value that we're talking about, that God asked for in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, is you. God values you so much that He gave His life upon Calvary for your sins. And now He died for you, so therefore He asked you to live for Him. Pretty good exchange, is it not? How are you going to do that? Well, again, this morning we talked about being holy and what that means. Now, being holy is simply to be set apart for the purpose of God. To be consecrated or dedicated to God. Being holy is that person who says, I am here in this life to serve the Lord. Here am I, Lord, send me. To be holy and acceptable or pleasing to God. That's our reasonable service. Now tonight we're given new instructions along this same line of being a living sacrifice. And the first thing we read there in verse 2 is, do not be conformed to this world. Now the word conform means to be shaped or molded, in this case by this age in which we live, this generation. The command is simply, don't let the world shape who you are or how you think. Now I preach this message with the knowledge of, this is the Sunday night crowd. I don't think, at least I very strongly hope that you're not living an immoral, ungodly life and allowing this world to poison your mind, make you think that the sin of this world is okay, which the generation today kind of tries to push toward us. However, I don't believe that you're part of that generation. I do know, however, that even I have to watch myself, or I will begin to think like the world. And I think the world today, there are many Christians who are being molded and do not even realize they're being molded. What I'm talking about, for example, I'll give you this for an example. Everything is controversy right now. Everything is bitterness. Everything is attacks, and it's one side or the other. And give you an example, the shot. Now, I'm not going to tell you to get a vaccination or to not get a vaccination. There are two sides to this vaccination issue that is at the forefront of every news broadcast. One side says if you get the shot, you're not wise because the shot is experimental and they do not know the long-term effects. While the other side says if you don't get the shot, you're just uneducated and don't care about other people. You know what? There's a third side. The third side says, love your neighbor as yourself. And as I said, I wouldn't tell you to get the shot. I wouldn't tell you not to get the shot. But I will tell you this. I'm going to love you whether you have the shot or whether you don't have it. Because that's my responsibility as a child of God. And you know, and I found myself often in the last couple of years getting into that I'm mad at the world mentality when God hasn't put me here to be mad at the world. He's put me here to be a living sacrifice. To let the world see what God looks like. And I realize, you know, as I was thinking about this message, 1 Corinthians 13 and 3, we can talk about being Christians all we want to, but, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 13 and 1, we can talk about being Christians all we want to, but there should be some things that back up that claim, and the thing that the forefront of that claim should be the love that we have. Number one, loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And number two, loving our neighbor as ourselves. If that's not present, Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. That, my friends, is not being conformed to the world. That says, I'm going to love you no matter what. That's our responsibility. That's what being a living sacrifice looks like. Don't think like the world and don't get on one side. It's not just this shot thing. Political sides, you know, you can be a Democrat or a Republican. Guess what? I'm going to love you anyway. Really? Yeah. I'm not going to tell you what I am. You probably know, but anyway. It doesn't matter. Because see, I'm not put on this earth to be a Democrat or a Republican. I'm put on this earth to be a living sacrifice. Don't let the world suck you into that bitterness, is my point. Okay? Nothing has changed. God is still in control. As a child of God, I know how this thing's going to end. And it's going to end well for everyone that's placed their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. We're going to be all right. Second thing we're told in verse 2. Be not conformed, number one, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform. Be transformed. That's a change in form. Literally, it means to reestablish something in a new and improved manner. You know, as child of God, we're supposed to be the new, improved version. How does this transformation take place? It says, by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to give you a little Greek thing, and you can take it for what it's worth, but I've got to tell you this to get you where I want you to go, okay? This being transformed, it's present tense, passive voice, meaning that it's a continual, ongoing process that is done to you. It's not something you do, it's something that happens to you, okay? And it means that, okay, today I'm going to be transformed. Tomorrow I'm going to be transformed even more. The next day I'm going to be transformed even more. The next day I'm going to... It's a growing process. If you count on yourself with all the resolutions, well, I'm going to do better. I cringe when people say, I'm going to get back in church. No, you're not. I've heard that a lot during the last year. And it never seems to happen. Why? Because we're human. And we fail. And you can be as resolved as you want to be, but you have to have some supernatural power to be transformed. Okay? It's God that makes this happen. Now, and the one thing you have to do is you have to allow yourself to be transformed. You have to allow yourself to be changed. Something's tough in a Baptist church, right? We don't like change. Right? And one thing, we need to change. We need to desire change for the better, that is. Okay? And so, how are you going to do that? I'm convinced this renewing of the mind takes place only one way. And that is by getting into the Word of God. I am convinced, well, I have learned of myself. Okay? Not pointing a finger at you, I'm saying how I am. What comes out is what I put in. Have you noticed that? The more I look at Facebook and see all the junk that's on Facebook, the more irritated and hard to get along with that I am. But the more I spend in the Word of God, and when I look at the Word of God from the viewpoint of, Lord, please change me. Transform me. This old mean heart, this old orneriness, this bitterness, Lord, change me. Into a living sacrifice. You see, where we get confused oftentimes is we get into the Word. We say, I'm going to spend 30 minutes a day reading my Bible. That's not good enough. Do you realize when you read your Bible, you have to read it from the perspective of, Lord, change me with your Word. There are a lot of people in the world today who know the Bible. Okay? You can know what's in here and not experience the change. But when you start looking in here and you start asking the question, how does it apply to me? What do I need to do differently? What am I lacking? And when you read it from that perspective, then something will happen. I promise you, God will begin to change you, to transform you. James put it like this in James chapter 1, verse 23. He said, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. I'm afraid that's what's happened to me a lot of times as I've looked into the Word of God. I've always heard all my life, well, you're supposed to read the Word. Read through the Bible, you know, and have a Bible reading program. We don't need a Bible reading program. We need a Bible application program. The Lord, change me by the power of your Word. James continues there in verse 25 of James chapter 1 when he says, But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. That guy who looks into this perfect law of liberty says, Lord, change me. Move me. Transform me. Is the guy that's going to be changed. Then number three. Said, don't be conformed, number one. Be transformed, number two. And number three, be real. The last line in verse 2. Why do you do it? Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That you may prove. That word prove, it means to demonstrate. I want you to think about that for just a moment. We're not going to be conformed. We're going to be transformed. We're going to be living sacrifices. Why am I going to do all that? So I can demonstrate. What is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? The goal of this entire process is for us to show the world what Jesus looks like. I've heard people say numerous times, "You're the only Jesus some men will ever see." That's the point of being a living sacrifice. That we can demonstrate to the world that we're not like the world. We don't spew the hatred and bitterness of the world. We don't join in the daily upheavals of the world. Instead, we love God and we love people. And we demonstrate to the world attitudes that are pleasing to God. We demonstrate to the world actions that are pleasing to God. See, that's what the word acceptable, you remember this morning when I gave you the definition to acceptable? It means pleasing. If there is one thing the world needs to see, if there is one thing this world needs today, it's to see Jesus. We're seeing a lot of junk on TV. We're seeing a lot of conflict in our culture. A lot of conflict in the world. It's our place to show them what Jesus looks like. That's what being a living sacrifice is all about. Now, as I said, I had intended to go through this entire chapter and go down the list. Now, I don't know, maybe next week we will. But you know, these two verses are so very valuable and necessary that I couldn't just breeze over these two verses. Because if the world's ever going to see Jesus, they're going to see Jesus through you and me. That's why we've got to be the living sacrifice. You know, it's really not that hard, is it? What are we supposed to be? What are we going to show the world? Very simply, show them how to love. Show them that, yeah, we can disagree with you, and we may not like your sin, and we may oppose your lifestyle, but we still love you and want to share Jesus with you. That's what the world needs to see. That's what's missing today. Nobody seems to care about anybody else out there. And it's sad. Because a lot of us, quite honestly, have been sucked into that attitude. The world has shaped us. No, let Jesus shape you. You may be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen to me. I want to share with you the best news that you could hear. The best news that you could hear is that you don't have to die in your sin. That you can receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ because He went to the cross of Calvary to pay your sin debt so that you could have everlasting life. That's why the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." When He said, "God so loved the world," that's you. That's you. God loved you that He gave His Son, Jesus. That whoever, again, that's you, that whoever you call upon the Lord could be saved. That's you. Now tonight, ball's in your court. God loves you. He gave His Son. Jesus loves you. He died for you. Folks, I want to tell you, Victory Baptist Church loves you. And we want you to go to heaven with us. Amen? Amen. But only you can make this decision. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you. We're going to have this verse of invitation. I'm going to ask you, would you come? Would you let me show you in the Word of God how that all you've got to do is ask and you'll be saved? Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your precious Word. Lord, I pray that Your Word tonight will change each of us. Myself, let it begin in me. Give me the right heart. A heart of love. Love with loving You with all my heart and soul and mind. And loving my neighbor. Lord, help us to present ourselves to be used of You in whatever manner You so desire. Lord, here we are. Send us and use us for Your glory. Father, I pray now in this invitation that if there's one who's lost, that they'll come. I pray if there's another who has a spiritual need that we can share or a burden that we can help them bear, I pray that they'll come for prayer. Lord, I pray that as we have this invitation, if there is a spiritual need, that need will be brought to Your feet tonight. In Jesus' name I pray.